It is April 5, 2016, and a bunch of Portlanders are gathered at the Jack London Bar for an evening of true transit tales. This is some kick-ass Oregon history, presented by TriMet Diaries and produced by the Sprocket Podcast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Jack London Bar. Thank you so much for coming down to Humanity on Wheels 3. We did this in 2012 or something like that, so this is the return. Thank you very much. Appreciate you joining us tonight. To start off our evening of mass transit tales, I want to tell you, first of all, that there is a sign-up sheet over there for the open mic session, which will be later in the evening. So if you would like to come up here and tell your mass transit tale, please feel free to sign up on the sheet, because you only get to do it if you're on the sheet. But starting up this evening, we are going to have a musical interlude from our dear friend, Dr. Something. As you will see, her keyboard is right here. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Dr. Something, and then I'll be back and we'll tell some tales. Thank you.
Everyone. Dr. Something, as Doug has just said, and I'm going to start off playing two of my songs that are explicitly about transit, and I'll have a couple songs later that are a little less explicitly about transit, but transit-related nonetheless. So I'm going to start off with my most self-explanatory song. It's Beaverton, T.C., and it's... It's basically Petula Clark's downtown about Beaverton, T.C. Where do I go when I'm looking to catch the bus to Tualatin? Where do I go when I'm aiming for the heart of the county known as Washington? Where must a bass player Jacob go when he wrecks his crappy Huffy beside the road? He's got to get on that mass transit and make a connection at the Beaverton, T.C. The new trains don't smell too terribly strange. Beaverton, T.C. Who says the west side is way out of range? Well, there's the Beaverton, T.C. where I know that I'll be able to find my way home. The Beaverton, T.C. Where can I see all the people shuffling off to work in their sensible shoes? Dog furs and big box shops, bike paths and concrete lots. There are some shelters from the pouring rain, a place of waiting, place of being alive, a place where strangers deign to and make a connection at the Beaverton, T.C. The new trains don't smell too terribly strange. Oh, the Beaverton, T.C. Who says the west side is way out of range? And there's the Beaverton, T.C. where I know that I'll be able to find my way home. The Beaverton, T.C. Thank you. you very much. It's, the second song is pretty short, but it requires a bit more explanation than the first one. It's about... it comes from a mini musical that my friend Jake, who I referenced in the previous song, me and I wrote this song called... this mini musical called Sub-Villains, about subterranean suburban villains that lived underneath the surface of Tualatin. And... This was 2009 or 2010 that we wrote this, so it was right around the time that Damascus had voted that no light rail could come in their town because they were afraid riffraff from Portland would come in. It was also around the time that the West Rail was completed, and so this is their song railing against the West Rail running through Tualatin because they're afraid that it will bring in the riffraff from other suburbs into their suburb. It's called Train of Fools. Oh, West Rail, you are a northern gale, blowing unwanted debris into my city. You transport fools and clowns onto my sacred grounds, tainting my beloved homeland without pity. Never has that quality seen denizens of such low quality. Bridgeport Village will be overrun, and then it will be no longer sexy nor fun. From Beaverton flow all these simple tongues, and from Tigard fierce brutes with shady morals, and from Wilsonville the ones who make me ill, disturbing our peace with all their quarrels. I can't handle scary outsiders, especially those losers without cars. Anyone not from Tualatin may as well come from Mars. Oh, West Rail, you'd love to see us fail, expose our secret lair to all these yokels, but you will rue the day your very tracks were laid. You should not mess with us, Tualatin locals. Thank you very much. I should also note that one of the other songs in that musical was called Sexy O'Clock, and it was about the time when all the soccer moms go to Bridgeport Village during soccer practice.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Something. She will be back. She will play more songs. You are so lucky. Well, my name is Doug Kent Crispin. I'm the resident historian for the website orhistory.com. We do a podcast called Kick-Ass Oregon History, and sometimes I get tangled up in Dr. Something's keyboard chords. And along with Dave at trimetdiaries.com, Dave's right over here, we do this show every once in a while called Humanity on Wheels, where it's really kind of a celebration of mass transit. We get together and tell some mass transit stories. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I want to thank really quickly Brock and Aaron from the Sprocket Podcast. They're recording this evening's event. And that will be aired on the internet. So you don't really call it airing, but what the fuck, I don't care. They're going to air that on the internet about 1 week from today. So remember, sign up on the sign-up sheet if you would like to share your own mass transit tale. And you, too, could be internet famous for about 12 and a half minutes. So sometimes I tell stories at these events, but this time I decided to use my little historian skills to do a deep record search at TriMet, which involves filling out the form that they have online. And we got some TriMet videos that I thought it might be fun to show you. These take us back to a time long, long ago, through the sands of time, a time before there were Maxes. There used to be buses that would bend. I know, that's crazy, huh? We're going to watch a quick, what they call a teaser right now.
Right now, every TriMet bus is being fitted with speed equipment, unlike any other buses in America. So after September 5th, These babies could do 0 to 60 in under 40 seconds. TriMet, get your free speed manual and get ready for America's fastest buses.
The speed buses out there in Gresham.
Only one city in America now has buses equipped with self-service machines to validate prepaid tickets and let pass holders enter any door. All of which makes boarding considerably easier and faster. TriMet, the fastest buses in America.
See, what would Tom McCall have said about that video, huh? All those fuckers from L.A. coming up here for our fast buses.
So anyways... 60 people enter and there's 20 validation staff.
So we're going to get into a longer video a little bit later that kind of explains... You know, we're talking a lot now about different fare methods on TriMet, what's accessible, what's not. So I think it'll be kind of interesting to watch this video a little bit later on. But before that, I need to introduce my dear friend, William Regan, who I shared a lovely buffet with on the Max one Saturday afternoon. And Will's going to come up and tell us his story for the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, William Regan.
Thanks for coming out. You know, complete side note, I love this picture.
King Burrito.
That's it. Yes, King Burrito, exactly. It all ties back. It all ties back. So I'm pretty good on my story, but I'm a little weak on where my slides are going to go, so hopefully we don't have any train wrecks. This is a story called In Heat. This actually appears on TriMetDiaries.com, but this is a different version of it, so you can... read it there, but this is a little different. And this slide actually is a good example of why copywriters love designers. Because this is the design you get when a copywriter does it. All the caps are right, you know. Shame on me. So anyway, what I love about TriMet is it's a front row seat to the drama of life. And every now and then, the drama is even better than normal. This one particular day, so I used to ride on the... Well, I still do, in fact. That old Mitch Hedberg joke. I used to do drugs. I still do, but I used to, too. I've ridden the 35 for so long that it used to be the 1. That's how long I've been riding the 35. Also, my contract requires that I make a historical reference. So now I'm committed. So I've been riding with the same people, you know, off and on here and there for years. And there's this one particular woman who I see probably once a week, have seen her once a week for years, and I've never seen her with a guy. And she's never seen me with a guy either. So we're even that way. But one day, she got on the bus, and she was with the horniest guy I have ever seen. They're both in their 20s, and... there's no way to describe it except that everything about his physical actions indicated that he had very recently been cured of virginity. And I get the impression, and pretty clearly she was the one who cured him. And I don't, apparently she had promised him another treatment when they got home because he could not stop touching her. Now it's important to remember, or it's important to point out for this story, that... this happened last summer during the heat wave. I don't know if you guys remember. It was about 100 degrees every day. I actually found a KGW photo that shows you how hot it was in Portland that day. You can't see it, but the 35 is riding through this at that time. So, I mean, it's hot. It's miserable in the shade, let alone on a crowded bus. And this guy wants to cuddle. And she's not having any of it. And this is how I knew that he had recently been cured of virginity, is that he didn't have any sense. He was like a teenager who, having discovered sex, just wants to have sex whenever the opportunity arises. And I kind of feel like I'm referring to my notes and I don't really need to. I know the story. I apologize. So he's, and yet I look right back down at him again. See, it's all about the slides. That's what I'm looking for. So anyway, he is, the time and the place is wrong for sex on a crowded bus. But I did a little diagram of his thought process to get him through that. As you can see, the thought allocation was everything in green is sex, and black is literally everything else. And so he can't stop touching her. He's rubbing up against her and stuff. And she is just, they're sitting on the side row. I love talking to bus riders because I can describe the place. She's sitting in those front side rows. So I'm sitting on one side looking straight across at the two of them. And she is staring out the window, no expression at all. And I don't know if you guys remember the, like this, many of you won't, but the Twilight Zone, there was an episode back in the 50s called Midnight Sun, about this, the Earth goes out of orbit and starts going towards the sun. And that is exactly what she looked like on the bus that day. All the while someone pawing at her, mind you. And so her body language is clear, like all caps clear. She's not smiling at him, she's not acknowledging him, she's not encouraging him, and he's oblivious to every bit of that. And so he's rubbing her arm, he's, you know, he's doing anything he can because he knows what's coming later, and he wants to start now. And so he's just, you know, kind of touching here, touching there. And finally she leans over and she whispers something in his ear. And I don't know what she said, but his arm came back. And see, he's got his arms in his lap. And it would have been like the perfect time to check your phone or just stuff your hands in your pockets and wait for the ride to get there. But he didn't because of that. So he's kind of sitting on his lap. Bus hasn't even gone two blocks since this whisper when he reaches over and starts rubbing on her arm again. And so she is looking back at him like, huh? And whispers in his ear again, arms retracted one more time. So he's sitting there again, and I'm thinking to myself, well, he's going to learn the lesson, right? He's gonna figure this out. And of course, he's not going to, because I don't need to show you the chart again, I'm sure. He's moving his hands again. You can see him kind of trying to sneak over again, like a teenager would do that. And she actually reaches down and picks up his hand and puts it in his lap. And I'm aching for the kid because it's just like, oh man, just you're playing your cards like really poorly. You know, he had like a 10 and a 9, and he's like, hit me, and so. I'm watching this kid, and I can see he's a little bit embarrassed, but he's not nearly embarrassed enough because he's still fidgeting. And I know what he's going to do. I know he's going to reach back over there again, and I want to save him. I want to save him from himself. I had a crossword puzzle, and I wanted to like lean over and point at the puzzle and say, hey, man, I need the five-letter word for happiness. But I'm pretty sure he was going to say, titties. Which is actually not the wrong answer, but it's seven letters, so that wasn't what I was after. So he's I can see he's still planning again. And he's scheming, and the whole time he's scheming, he's very clearly staring at her thighs. So he's riding along like this, and hands starting to move, and she reaches up and pulls the stop, and. So he's, as I say, she's been riding this bus for years. He's new. So he's kind of like surprised by this. Like, oh, is this our stop? Well, as soon as she pulls the cord, she stands up and walks to the front of the bus, like deserting him, basically. And he's kind of scrambling for his stuff. Like, well, I mean, do I have everything I need here? And while this is happening, a couple people get in between the two of them. When she gets actually gets off the bus. She starts walking down the sidewalk without even waiting for him, without even looking. And again, it's that thing of like, anyone else would have recognized, like, oh, this is a bad sign for any further treatments this evening. And but he's the one guy who didn't recognize that. So, and the bus hasn't pulled away yet, and I see him, like, running up like a little child to be with her again. And sure enough, as soon as he gets even with her, he's, like, rubbing her right up against her shoulder. You know, again, right back to the physical contact. And I'm pretty sure she was all, like, just like that. And I all I can say about it is I felt very bad for him, and I expect that his virginity flared up again that evening. Thanks very much. My name is William Regan. You can read both of those. That story is available at these sites. And thanks for sitting through my nervousness.
William Regan, ladies and gentlemen. And next we have Heather Gogan, who's the other half of TriMetDiaries.com. Actually, she's not at all. She just deals with it all day long. She gets to relive the postings before they go on, while they're being posted, and then afterwards as well. So she's going to come up and tell us a tale as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Heather.
I'm going to tell you a story about why you should always wash your hands after public transit. So you know this. You know it intuitively. You know wherever you put your hands on a bus that 1,000 other people have put their hands there also. And it's just a matter of time before you get home or to work or wherever and get to a sink and wash your hands. It's necessary. Also, it's a public space. You know, you try not to breathe too deeply because who knows what you're breathing, right? It's bus aroma. It's sneeze spray, flu virus, farts. It could be anything, right? So this is just part of being in a public space with lots of other people. And as a bus rider, you just sort of learn how to mind your own damn business. So that's part of being in compact, tight spaces. It's part of being in a city. You allow yourself and others the courtesy of privacy. So I'm an expert at minding my own damn business on the bus. And unless it comes to, like, weirdness or violence or whatever, then, you know, you start to pay attention. And so I was taking the 19, which is a very Southeast, which is a very sedate, sort of fresh-smelling line. the one bummer about the 19 is that it takes the Ross Island Bridge, and I find the eastbound Ross Island Bridge is personally offensive to me because somebody thought this was a good idea. And nobody said no. And so, 19, it's fine. And it's funny now, the new bridge is opened, and it's still the only bus that goes over the Powell, over Powell, over the Ross Island Bridge. Not even the Powell bus goes over Powell Bridge. So, one ride home. Like I said, I'm an amateur. One ride home. Guy gets on. I get on downtown. And so I get my choice of seats. It doesn't start to get crowded until you go through PSU and all those sorts of areas. And so a guy gets on, and he's not a regular. And he's clean cut, looks normal, you know, like kind of suburban kid, you know, tight haircut, droopy drawers, got the puffy coat. And normal, except he's a little off. And you don't know how they're off, and you don't really stop to think about it or whatever. But I see he comes on, and he stands sort of next to me. I'm seated because I got on early, and that's all I care about. I'm sitting in the aisle seat, and he comes, and he stands next to me. And so the bus starts moving, and then he hooks both hands on both railings and starts doing this. And I don't know what that is. And I'm like, oh, you're high. That's what you are. I was like, I knew you were there. I knew there was something wrong with you. I knew there was something wrong with you, and you are high, because I don't know what else it could possibly be. And so he's doing that for a little while, and then we're rolling, and he's right next to me, and I'm minding my own damn business, but he's right here. So he unhooks his hand from up here and shoves it down his pants, and he starts digging. And he goes, and he goes, and he's going for the goal, and he's doing it forever. And so, and this is 30 inches from my face. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking about this, and I'm minding my own business, but at the same time, I begin to understand why people vote Republican. Or at least vote to defund public transit. Because, oh, the pearl clutching about the ball grabbing. You know, it's this fear of sharing spaces. And so I'm from the East Coast. Yes, yes, boo hiss. thank you. But I've had children, and like less than a mile from here, I birthed my children, so now I have anchor babies, and you can't get rid of me. And being from the East Coast, there's nobody writing in the comment section of the Boston Globe saying, rip out the rails, build more lanes, or whatever. And so it's sort of this weird Oregon Live thing, I guess? I don't know. So if you're not accustomed to riding transit, just learn to mind your own damn business, and you toughen up. And so he's still going for it. Like, he's going, and he's going, and this is beyond just a scratch, right? Like, I know you guys have a repertoire. I know you can be real smooth about this, and I know over a lifetime you just learned the art of fondling yourself, I guess, in public places. And so he's way...
That
was finesse. Yes, he's way beyond this. And he's beyond the scratching. So now he's just doing it because it feels good?
Yes.
But on the bus. But on the bus. 30 inches from my face. And so I'm just riding the bus, and I'm just minding my own business. And so he stops. He pulls his hand on out. He puts his hand back up on the rail. And that is why you always wash your hands after using the rail.
Thank you, Heather. I'm going to wash my hands before I touch the microphone. Thank you very much. That's right. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome another one of our Humanity on Wheels regulars. See, I said that like a real live mass hole. Heather. Dr. Jeff.
First of all, it's, I think, the worst allergy season in the last 150 years. I don't usually have this hoarse of voice, but I'm going to go with it, all right? So my wife gave me a couple pieces of advice before I came out here. The first one I thought was pretty profound. She said, picture everyone as naked and stupid. Doug, where are you?
I'm right here. Right here. Naked and stupid?
It didn't work. I just can't picture you as stupid for some reason. Naked, yes. Stupid, no. And she also said, the drunker they are, the funnier you'll be. So drink up, everybody. It's like a wedding, by the way, Doug. I had to pick out an outfit, and I got my hair cut. So is it going to be like the black crew neck t-shirt, or is it going to be the black V-neck t-shirt? It took about half an hour to figure it out.
Deep V.
Someone here has chest hair, but it's not me, that's for sure. I have cards. Things are shrinking down now. I have cards. Next time, I'm just going to have them on like little postage stamp size. I had a full-size piece of paper last time, so I'm becoming more professional. Who knows about the 10,000-hour rule? I'm not doing that well. All right. So it's from a book called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, and I was talking about it with a friend a while back. And I thought, you know, the rule for those of you who don't know is that 10,000 hours of rehearsal or practice is supposed to make you an expert at something. And the way that Malcolm Gladwell figured this out is he had some, they were observing violinists, I guess, 20-year-old violinists, and some of them had already had 10,000 hours of practice. And first of all, as a psychologist, my initial thought is I want to study their social adjustment, but that's an entirely different thing. They had 10,000 hours, beautiful, amazing, expert level. They had achieved mastery of the violin. And I guess the next level down was 4,000 hours, where you're, I don't know, mediocre or something after 4,000 hours. And I thought, you know, that kind of makes me feel bad. What have I done for 10,000 hours? Well, first thing I did was I did some math, and I realized that I've been alive for like 500,000 hours, which completely blew my mind, and I thought, that theory is bullshit. I mean, I should be so fucking good at life right now with 500,000 hours, and I suck at it still. Like, I should have my shit together after 300,000 hours. 500,000 hours, I still don't have a very good grasp on life. The other thing, though, I mean, you know, there's probably pretty good at pooping.
Yeah.
Pooping.
Masturbation, sleeping, expert level.
Spilling coffee.
Yes, spilling coffee, all that stuff. But then I thought, what about transit? Have I been on transit for 10,000 hours? First of all, that is one of those 2 o'clock in the morning thoughts where you're trying to figure out what the fuck you did with your life. For about a 2 or 3 year span, I was on transit for 20 hours a week. Just let that sink in for a minute. I was 2 hours each way. And I kind of started doing some math, and I figured that plus another 3, 4, 5 years of being on the bus, going to work every day, being on the transit in 1976 on TriMet. Come on. 76. 40 years ago, for Christ's sakes. I was on TriMet 40 years ago, and I'm still on TriMet. And it worked out to, like, 4,000 or 5,000 hours, something like that. So I'm mediocre plus at right on TriMet. But then I realized that one time I was stuck in the tunnel. And that's worth 6,000 hours of being on TriMet. Being stuck in the tunnel, you know, the thing about the tunnel is, the really fucked up thing about the tunnel is, I don't know if you've ever gotten off the train in the tunnel to go up to the zoo. They've got this, like, core sample thing that runs along. And so it's supposed to tell you, you know, all the progression. You're walking along, and it's like, was that a human hand? And then there's, like, old beer cans and stuff. And I'm like, And there's these signs. You're in a fucking, you know, you're 1,000 feet below the surface of the earth. You really don't want somebody telling you how far below the surface of the earth you are. You are 8,000 feet below the surface of the earth. And you're completely at our mercy. It's like being in the airplane and they're like, we're approximately 32,000 feet in the air. That's 6 miles up in the air in a small tin can. You shouldn't tell people that kind of thing. So I added it up, and I'm going to just go ahead and say that I'm qualified to drop some transit wisdom on you because I've had 10,000 hours of transit service. So I'm going to give you just a few basic tips about TriMet, being on the transit, on the train, on the bus. First of all, in this day and age, you will get high. Everyone on the transit is high. Honest to God, every single person who passes by, 60-year-old dude, 8-year-old kid, they all smell like weed. Everyone in Portland smells like weed now. Everyone. It got to the point, actually, I tweeted a while ago that I longed for the good old-fashioned smell of BO on the bus. Everyone's high on the bus. And it's a contact high, not just through smoke, like the good old-fashioned contact high. And trust me, I'm kind of an expert in this. Long ago, I grew up in Southern Oregon, and they have a big weed-growing industry there. And the reason for it is not the topography or the geography or the security or anything like that. It's because, like, me and 6 other guys smoked all the rest of the weed in the Rogue Valley. They had to grow some. Some entrepreneur went, we can make a lot of money doing this. Everyone's high. It just emanates from, I think it's now in all the seat cushions. It's everywhere. So you will be exposed to marijuana smell on the bus. Oh, another tip. If you're on the max and you sit backwards, it reverses the aging process. It's true. True story. I'm actually 92 years old. And I lied about the fact that you can't smell BO on the bus anymore, too. That was a lie. You can't miss it because it'll never go away. But, you know, that brings us to tip 2, which is approach people with kindness, because there are folks who are maybe taking an hour and a half bus ride to go get a shower and some food. The rest of you fuckers, though, take care of yourselves. Do what I do. I've got deodorant at work. I apply it before I get on the bus to go home. I want to offer myself as a shining example. If I touch my balls, I make sure no one's sitting next to me. Yeah, it was funny because Heather's story reminded me of when I used to get on the bus on the train at the Hillsborough Transit Center, the end of the line there, the Mark O. Hatfield Transit Center, which is right next to the Fred Somebody Jail. So if you timed it right and you got on the train at like the 504 Blue Line heading out, first of all, for Christ's sakes, if you want to get a good seat on the train, go to the end of the line, because you could pick any seat you want. But everyone got out of jail, and you kind of could tell because there'd be 4 guys doing pull-ups on the bars of the train. Yes. And people with plastic bags with all their stuff, and they're changing clothes on the train as they go in, trading goods, you know, it was great. Also, don't fucking look people directly in the eye. Unless you want a best friend for life, do not look people directly in the eye on the bus. Another thing, and my good friend Dan Christensen is here tonight, a transit operator extraordinaire, and he has way more than 10,000 hours in driving the bus, and he's an expert. But there is such thing as transit operator karma. Anytime I'm on Twitter or someone's bitching about, you know, the number 17 was 6 hours late, and you know why? Because they were shitty to their bus driver at one point in their life. That's why that happened to them. There's someone driving a $500,000 vehicle. Don't give them any shit. They're professionals. Smile, give them your money, say something nice to them, get on the bus. Don't fuck up your transit operator karma. Be the rider you wish that you were sitting next to.
Paul Stranger!
Now, in my case, that involves morphing into Scarlett Johansson, which I can't do, but I can be courteous, nice, try to smell good, you know, try. So it's out of my control. I don't know what. Be the bus rider or the train rider that you won't be sitting next to. Like I said, keep some deodorant at work. It's a miracle. Approach everyone with kindness because they may have been stuck in the tunnel shortly before you sat next to them on the bus. You never know. And if you happen to see Dan Christensen driving your bus, it's okay to tip your bus driver.
Yes!
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Jeff. And he's right. He used to have a lot more entertaining tweets when he commuted 2 hours a day. I used to love watching him because in the morning you get like this fucking, like I watch, there's a couple people that always tweet in the morning. They're like, give you these daily affirmations. And one of them would be Dr. Jeff, and he'd tell you like, you know, be kind to people and that kind of thing. And the other one that I follow is at Final Level, which is Ice-T, and he's always got like the daily game, you know, like how to step it up. So it was, I kind of miss those. I'm looking forward to those coming back. Yeah, exactly. Old dudes. So next, ladies and gentlemen, we were going to have Robert Wagner here tonight. Not the podcaster, but the famous actor guy. And unfortunately, he had to go to an acting event in London. But we have our like pitch hitter coming right up right now from the Sprocket Podcast is Aaron Flores. Aaron, please come and tell us. And I want to say thank you so much for coming and assisting us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So this is a story that would illustrate the transit habits that you make when you are 20 years old are not necessarily the transit habits that you should keep. But first, I'm going to illustrate the last part of the story for you all. So you kind of will see what the other writers saw, you know, as this habit kind of happened. Oh, she's going to eat that baby. And that's how I exited the bus. And what happens is, okay, so when I was 20-ish, I moved to Pittsburgh. I took transit as my main mode of transportation, usually the bus. Every now and then they called it the T. It's their version of the MAX. I was a very naive 20-something. Someone would come up to me, hey, you got, like, change, whatever. Yeah, sure, man, here, you know. The nail in the coffin was some guy came and asked me for something to eat. I was actually eating something at the time. It was a Nutty Buddy. And so I'm eating this Nutty Buddy, and this guy's like, hey, man, do you have something for me to eat? And I'm like, all I got is this Nutty Buddy. And he just, out of my hand, like right there. From that day forward, I decided, okay, I need to find some barrier, either physical or metaphysical, between me and other riders. And the thing I came up with was headphones. If I'm wearing headphones, the bigger the better. People tend to leave me alone. People think, oh, well, yeah, he's listening to his music. He's not going to hear what I'm going to say. I didn't always necessarily have anything going on, but I may have always been singing. You know, like, just the standard, like, somebody singing but not really knowing the lyrics. It's like, born to run, you and baby. You know, and you just do that throughout your train ride or your bus ride, and people kind of will... You get a seat, actually. It's a really easy way to get a seat. Just really enter on the bus and be like, oh, that one. Okay, cool. But it doesn't last forever. So, thanks to things like iPods, longer battery life, you have a continual stream of music going in to your ears, except for that space between songs. And what happens is then you get these snippets of conversations with no context. For example, I'm listening to whatever, space between songs. Oh yeah, you can't get pancakes for that price anymore. What? And so that mixed with an overactive imagination, and I'm like, wait, where is he getting the stealing pancakes? Wait, like, what is he talking? Like, is there, like, stock in pancakes? Is the stock in pancakes rising? Do I need to invest in pancakes? Fast forward to a year and a half ago, I'm writing the number 4. And I'm listening to my music. Actually, Bruce Springsteen, not just me kind of imitating him. And in between songs, there's a space, and I hear this lady like, yeah, I finally have gotten most of my children eaten. Now if I can only get this one eaten. And then she leaves the bus, and she's telling this to her friend. They both leave the bus. And I'm thinking to myself, so, you know, probably you guys are rational beings, and you're thinking like, oh, she's trying to feed her children. They're probably picky eaters. She's getting them to eat. You hear it as eating, I'm hearing it as eaten. And I'm like, what? And again, like, so now there's this whole, like, theory going on in my head is like, is there this underground baby cannibal club going on? Is there, like, this coven of mothers who are, like, finding children or having children just to eat them? Is food really that scarce? And this is all, like, in the space of, like, so she leaves the bus. And, you know, it's like the space of maybe 2 stops, and I'm just like, what is going on? And I don't always have a whole lot of control of, like, the thoughts going on in my head staying in my head. And so I don't really believe she's actually going to eat this baby, but I'm thinking about this. I hit the line, bus comes to the stop, and as I'm getting up, I say audibly, oh, she gonna eat that baby. And then I exit the bus, and I'm like, oh, shit, I said that out loud. So be careful of the habits that you make on the bus.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Florence.
And now we have the pleasure of welcoming my favorite bus driver. He drives the 4 now and again and drops me off at the park. And he has exceptional taste in podcasts, too. I do know this as well. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Christensen.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Can you hear me back there? They're going to be saying, step away from the mic. He's too loud. Where to start? So, what you were saying about earbuds and listening to music, you get to be the bus driver, all right? You're all driving the 9 on 82nd heading into town. This is a rider. Dude, how much is the fare? What, how much? Dude, to what? Do you go downtown? What, do you go downtown? Yeah. Hey, you don't have to yell at me, you fucker! Repeat, 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 repeat. dropped them off at the high school. I was a bit worried earlier when I saw that chart, that 90% chart and the little 2% thing. I thought, uh-oh, they know I'm here. Except it said sex instead of TV theme song. So, whew, not me. Not me. And yes, do wash your hands. Trust me. The first thing every bus driver does is run for the bathroom. Everything. That bus driver has to go. Hands? No way. Woo. And what else did I notice about other things going on here? Oh, yes, the guy masturbating in the bus. Yes, that's always fun when you're driving the bus. You kept saying, he's 30 inches from my face. I'm driving the bus. I'm like, he's 39 feet away from me in my mirror. And the guy's back there, and this guy's sitting in the back with one leg over the seat. It's just him and me in the bus. Cue the music. And I'm driving, I'm like, no, he isn't. No, I'm lying to myself. No way that guy's masturbating back there. No way. No way. And finally, I look, I'm like, oh my God, he's two-handing it. And I hit the brakes. You know, when you fall on your ass on a bus, you have to wash your butt. Because that's dirty down there. That guy slid right off the seat and went flying. And I loved the mention about marijuana because, you know, 10 years ago I said, people would get on the bus and ask me, dude, do you know where to buy marijuana? And I'm like, I'm a bus driver. I got my finger on the pulse of nothing. And now they say, and I would laugh at them. What do? You just laugh. And now they ask me, you know where to buy some marijuana? I laugh because it's everywhere. In 10 years. It went from this joke to that joke. 10,000 hours to become good at something. I've been driving the bus. I did the calculation. 30,000 hours. That makes me a triple ninja bus driver. So, up yours, regular ninja bus driver. So, I'm glad that OR History is here because they have to answer my dying questions. Who sucked more millions out of Portland? Was it Sam Bowie? Was it Greg Oden? Or was it the Max system? Boy, that thing needs to stay up longer. Never mind. No joke. And my favorite people are the people, like, I've been doing mornings so I could come here at night. Mornings are hard for me. I'm a night driver. And there's these special human beings that require validation from a bus driver. I am a brain-dead zombie. I have come right off the set of The Walking Dead, and I'm driving a bus, and they get on the bus, they're like, hi, hi, and then they'll do the hi right at you. Hi, okay, and then when they go, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm looking at cars, watching for bikes, looking for things, and I turn around and say, huh? And they step off the bus. I hope you have a better day. Oh. If you're in here, I will find you tonight, and I will kill you. What sort of depressing, bottom-of-the-barrel life are you leading when you need to milk a bus driver for response? Let's see. Put a bullet in. Spin it. Oh, the bus is coming. Never understood that, why people do that. But we are reaching the end of an era on TriMet, I have noticed, which is the end of the people getting on with the giant Rottweilers with a human's belt around their neck and two pieces of yarn for a leash and going, it's a service animal. You know, and the things are going, yes, for Satan. And I found a trick, because I actually sat there when I posted something about it, and somebody said, well, people need service animals. I'm like, I'm good with real service animals. How do you know these are? I developed a test, because these people are not where they are because they're super smart. They come on my bus, and I know after two questions, their force field, fuck you, bus driver, force field is down. So I go, hey, that's a beautiful dog. Oh, yeah, it's very pretty, isn't it? Everyone loves their dog. How old is that dog? Force field's down. Oh, he's 7 months old. Wow, where did you get that dog? I bought him from some guy's trunk at a Safeway. So, not a service animal. And then they always look like the vampires in the movie when someone cracks the window open. Oh, best driver! Ah! But it's actually started to go away. People stop doing it so much now. And who knows?
You need to get out the gateway more.
Yeah, let's see, what else have I noticed? Let's go right into one of my favorite little stories. Because it has all the elements that seem to be plaguing today, racism, all sorts of problems. So I'm driving the bus, I'm going down 72, going down to Swan Island. It is hot. The bus has broke down twice. I'm late. I'm late for being late. And I get down there, and there's buses all over the place with their rear hoods up, and they're all stopped. The problem is when you come down, here is where you stop to go to the bathroom. But way down over here is the last stop. So I'm like, the people on my bus want to go to the last stop. So I take him around the corner, and I say, here you go. Oh, okay, bye, 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 thank you. Oh, you're special. Yes, bye, sir, thank you. They get off. And I got to say, this woman looked like she worked a full day. She comes on with her little one. She goes, you let me on this bus. I go, wait a minute. She goes, no, wait a minute. I'm like, hold on. And I'm like John Candy in Uncle Buck. Ebony, she will not let me talk. And I'm like, no, hold on, no. I want to say I'm just going around the block to park at the 7-Eleven to run inside like a crazy man and trying to go to the bathroom on time, not make a mistake. No, she's like, I'm coming on this bus. And she starts walking on the bus. And I'm like, she's walking on the bus. And I go, please don't. There's two other buses. They're broke down. I know why you don't want to give me a lift. So she's craftily played the race card. Hold on. Face down. Hasn't flipped it up. I know why you aren't giving me a ride. And I try over and over again. And finally, my bladder knocks on my head and says, buddy, you got two choices. Here or there. And I say, all right, stay on the bus. Stays on the bus, and I run around the block and park, and I rip open the doors, and I say, stay as long as you want, I'm going to the bathroom! And I run across the street, and I hear, you are a racist! And they're screaming, coming at me, and I'm running to the, and this guy's from UPS are standing there. And the guy just looks at me and goes, is it Wednesday? As this woman is screaming, are you a racist? You're a racist. I run in, and she runs back over to the bus stop. I come out, all happy. Get back to the bus. I got my water. Check the temperature of my bus. All nice and cool. And I start up, pull around to the stop. 30 people. She's at the back of the line, giving me the mean eye. And I'm like, come on in, hey, come on in, hey, come on in. It comes to her, I'm like, hey, welcome back. She gets on the bus, silently walks to the back with her kid. And I start driving. And I'm watching, she's just,
You give me a look.
I'm driving, and I get to Killingsworth. The bell rings, she walks up. She looks at me and says, I know what you're thinking. She turns back and says, okay, this one time I made a mistake. That's it.
So, remember, your bus driver karma is in my hands. Right? Because I know the sweet spot on how to stop just hard enough to make y'all drop your smartphones. Have a good night.
So, Dr. Something is going to get
Dan Christensen, ladies and gentlemen. And always say hello to him when you go on the bus. The one time I didn't, I heard about it weeks later. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Something is back to give us a little bit more musical interlude. And then we're going to have some movie time. And then we're going to open it up to you with the open mics telling your mass transit stories right fucking here. But you got to sign up right over fucking there. Dr. Something.
Hi. Good to see you all again from this angle. So this next song is not, it starts on transit. It's an amalgamation of two stories that happened to me, one of which was that I dressed as Krampus once, which involved a full body gorilla suit, and I got very drunk and crashed at a friend's place, and then I ended up having to ride the bus back home, a very long bus ride, and there was a child in the bus, and I was very, very hungover, who just kept asking me questions about why I was wearing a gorilla suit from the night before, you know. So I was trying to humor this kid in a G-rated way, and well, having a very throbbing headache. And then the other part didn't actually happen at the same time as the gorilla costume, but I combined it for the song. I just woke up one morning, and I was at Sunset Transit Center at that point, and the MAX driver was like, you gotta get off, it's the end. But this song is about Foster Road. Morning air. Oh, those Foster nights. They
Looking out under TV screen light, down by the carpet warehouse blind. Self-destruction never felt so right, because the crushing grind of life's on hold till we see the sun dodging 4x4s and biker bites to get a heavy pour of life's delights, because tomorrow's just fiction until I can see the sun rise.
I've got one more song for you tonight, and it's going to be accompanied by a little bit of video. It starts on the max. And if you feel like at any point you know how the chorus is going, feel free to pipe in. Even if you've never heard the song before, I think by the last chorus you'll probably have it. Should not have eaten spurious leftovers, but that's hard to remedy now. I cut the westbound max at an inopportune time. And now I'd better think fast, lest I shit my pants. I wish we hadn't just left Hollywood, cause there's a grocery store right near there. We were headed downtown where public restrooms are so scarce. But at the Lloyd Center stop, I knew I had my chance. It was gonna be a shitsplosion at the Lloyd Center Macy's. Gonna look nonchalant and make a beeline to the bathroom. Forsaken mall, may I please find my salvation in its waste disposal station. I prayed to the boy, so I bolted across the grass of the dingy park with an awkward and penguin-like gait toward that red-labeled concrete slab just to the north. And then I entered that box of bright lights, perfume, and socks. It was gonna be a shitsplosion at the Lloyd Center Macy's. Gotta look nonchalant and make a beeline to the bathroom. It was the first sign I saw at this godforsaken mall. May I please find my salvation in its waste disposal station. I prayed to the boy, tried to downplay my sweat and my urgency, feigned some interest in the housewares. I cut the escalator while avoiding strangers' stares. And in the corner I saw the loveliest sight of all. It was time for a shitsplosion at the Lloyd Center Macy's. Gotta look nonchalant and make a beeline to the bathroom. Just in time to save these lucky pants of mine, I truly found salvation in this waste disposal station. And there I reached a place of sweet relief, where my previous worries
were expelled from my soul. Sure, there was pain, but it mercifully subsided when I'd cleansed my body and accomplished my goal.
Thank you very much. I'm going to give the mic back to Doug. We got some cool videos coming.
Hey, Dr. Something, where can people find you on the internet?
It's at drsomething.com, drsomething.com, and then I've got various social media presences, which can be found in links on there.
That's totally intuitive. That was very smart. Excellent. Dr. Something, ladies and gentlemen. Well, now we are going to watch a TriMet film. This is from 16 millimeter.
Yes.
It was a film reel, so I didn't quite know what the fuck was on it. Went out to the Blue Warehouse, the Oregon Historical Society. Matthew Cohen's very kind to transfer this for us, so we appreciate that. And also appreciate Kevin Connor for helping us, or Christopher Connor for at TriMet for helping us get this together. So without further ado, let's see it. That's what music in the future sounds like.
Using all available resources, TriMet has burst into the computer age with a fare collection system to match. Self-service fare collection. Self-service fare collection is a method that transfers most of the responsibility for payment of fares from drivers to passengers. Passengers must carry proof of a correctly paid fare whenever traveling on a TriMet bus. Fare inspectors circulate throughout the TriMet system to ensure that passengers are riding with valid tickets and or passes. In truth, self-service isn't new at all. It's been in use for 20 years in European cities where mass transit is a way of life. A lot of people said self-service wouldn't work here in the United States. But on September 5th, 1982, TriMet chose to become the first American transit company to apply this system to its entire bus operation. Innovation is always risky business. However, we reduced risk by engaging in 4 years of careful planning. Studies in the early 70s on self-service fare helped us identify the potential benefits of such a system. Studies and consulting with the likes of Richard Stanger from Atlanta, Tom Parkinson from Vancouver, BC, and Roman Bauer of the Zurich Transit System helped us recognize that the potential benefits could far exceed the risks. Not only could we prepare for the multi-doored vehicles and even larger passenger loads of light rail, but self-service fare held potential for increasing route efficiency with articulated buses and greatly reducing fare evasion. By decreasing waiting time, seconds per stop could be saved, minutes per route, translating into hours and dollars saved system-wide. And even at this early stage, figures indicate a 50% reduction from the former fare evasion rate. We have also been able to expand our fare zone system from 3 to 5 zones. We considered a number of zone configurations that would best fit with our current radial system and our move toward a grid system on the east side. While a cellular pattern encourages and rewards the shorter, more cost-efficient trips, it doesn't fit the large pattern of suburb to downtown trips. We finally decided on 5 concentric circles with a number of adjustments to place whole communities within a single zone. In that way, many of the new crosstown inner neighborhood lines could be used for inexpensive trips. But the five-zone system made possible by self-service fare collection also enabled us to adjust our pricing to the length of the trip, thereby permitting us the opportunity to introduce ticketing alternatives. In our search for an equipment vendor, our detailed specifications required only proven onboard equipment. The winning contractors were Camp of France and Voltron of Michigan. Camp has self-service fare collection equipment, which is widely used throughout France and other Western European countries. We had to decide on self-service policy, enforcement, driver procedures. An enforcement policy was designed that would have enough teeth to encourage compliance, but leave the fare inspectors primarily as customer relations specialists. We needed to dispel the myths and replace them with fact through a detailed, well-organized public information campaign, which started with our own employees. We had to train our drivers to use the system, and we had to hire and train fare inspectors. We gave everyone a big assignment: learn new routes, new schedules, new fares, and a new way to collect them. Hours of classroom instruction on zones, fares, and policy educated not only drivers, but customer service personnel, secretaries, and all administrative staff as well. Not until everyone in-house knew the basics were we prepared to introduce our new fare collection system to the public. A systematic public information and advertising campaign was launched. Our passengers had to learn a whole new system: enter through both doors, validate your ticket, know your zones, and don't be afraid to transfer. A big order. You'd have to send them to school just to get retrained in bus riding. So that's exactly what we did. We began our information campaign with bus school. Within the 5 months, 150,000 people attended. We also used retired drivers, TriMet office personnel, and our own army of Portland teenagers to get the word out. We followed up with pamphlets, TV and radio spots, posters, slideshows, public forums, videotapes, everything we could think of to inform the public to ensure a smooth transition. How did Portlanders do? They passed with flying colors. Of course, not everyone thought it was a great idea. Some people thought it was ill use of public funds. But generally, the program is being favorably received. After 4 years of planning and an exhaustive staff team effort, September 5th came and went at TriMet. Now, Portland, TriMet, and its riders are in a position to get the maximum benefit of transit's new technology. We're investing now to be even more efficient later, and we're proud to be moving TriMet into the future.
Enjoy that? Well, that's good. So I wasn't really sure. It's like kind of long and it's a little weird, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now, there was a couple things in that video. One, I don't take the max too much. I don't trust it. But I used to take the number 5 a lot, which runs right along Interstate, and I miss the 5. It used to bend, like we talked about, the bendable buses. The other thing, and I was talking about this with Matthew Cohen out at the Oregon Historical Society, who the fuck did they make a calculated risk for, right? Because you make a film for somebody, and it just kind of reeks of, I know you think we fucked up, but we took this calculated risk. I don't know, it's really interesting to kind of consider who the fuck was the audience of said film. Well, first of all, in no way are we affiliated with TriMet, but nonetheless, we have some gift packs from TriMet's marketing department to give away here. I think we're going to just toss them out into the audience, but there's water bottles in them, so if you're drunk, put your hands above your head. so it doesn't hit you. And none of this embarrassing shit like that lady who, like, fought the kid for the baseball. Remember that one? Like, the fucking boomers video? Yeah, none of that stuff. So Dave's going to vault them out. I know, it's metal. It's like, this is at your own risk, okay? The Jack London has the extra insurance, I think, though, so we're all good to go. So, excellent. And now we're going to open it up to open mic. First on the list is Joe Streckert. If you want to tell us an awesome mass transit story, please sign your name on the list over yonder. And, yeah, let's hear some stories. Thanks, everybody, for coming down tonight. We really appreciate it.
All right. So I've been taking TriMet for a while. This is a story from when I was in high school, when I was like a Lincoln High School magnet student, and I had to go from Rose City Park all the way to fucking downtown. So this story might be colored by 20 years of memory. Sorry about that. But I am on the 12. I'm coming home from school. I am with my friends. We are talking about, like, Nine Inch Nails or Reservoir Dogs or the death of Kurt Cobain or some other 90s bullshit that high school students talked about on the bus. And we're sitting in the back of the 12 because, of course, the back of the bus is where the good seats are. The front is where you sit if you're just a sad, alone person and you want to be by yourself. But the back is where the cool kids with Smashing Pumpkins t-shirts sit. And they can have their little miniature salon back there, gabbing to each other about, I don't know, how great and profound Eddie Vedder is. So, we are talking amongst ourselves, and there is an interlocutor. There is a gentleman who is far past high school. He is much older than us, and he is also altered, high, drunk, maybe multiple of those at once, I don't know. But what I remember is that he was loud, and we were having a conversation about some 90s bullshit, and he wanted to join in on it. And we kind of did the nonverbal communication thing where it's like, we are ignoring you, strange, altered, high, drunk, beard man. But he was not perceiving that, and he persisted and persisted, and this made him angry. This made him very, very, very angry that he was not a part of our little 90s cool kid bus salon on the 12. So he started shouting. I don't remember what he was shouting about. I don't remember the words he said. Again, 20 years of memory is at work here. But it was loud, and we tried to the best of our ability to suddenly kind of like shrink back and disappear in our seat, and all of our like hard talk about the profundity of Smashing Pumpkins lyrics melted away in the face of actual real life dark shit. This is a guy who is on the like brink of something or other, and when we see his own personal demons kind of expectorated at us, we are not able to deal with it. Yeah, despite all his rage, he was just a rat in a cage. But fortunately, we were bailed out of this. This dude, who was not sitting in the cool back part of the bus salon part, comes up. And the thing I remember about this dude is that he was wearing a leather jacket. And in my memory, this gentleman is some combination of the Fonz and Daredevil. And he says to Scary Beard Man, they don't want to talk to you.
Oh, yes.
And Scary Beard Man says, what? And he says, they don't want to talk to you. Right. And the man in the leather jacket, he says, stop talking to these kids. Stop harassing them. Stop yelling at them. If you want to talk to somebody, talk to me. And suddenly, on the 12, as I'm coming home from high school, I see these two men standing up near the back door of the bus, and they are doing the two things where two guys, like, stand at each other. You know, where you have two dudes, one dude is standing, and the other dude is standing, and they're going to see who can, like, stand harder. They're doing that. And the man in the leather jacket says, no. You seem like you have something going on. You're angry. You can talk to me. And the Scary Beard Man says, are you saying you want to go?
You want to go? And the man in the leather jacket says, sure. Next bus stop. We'll get off, let's go. They get to the next bus stop. The back door of the bus opens. The scary beard man gets off and he's like, okay. And the guy in the leather jacket braces himself in the door and he says to the bus driver, close the doors and gun it. Doors close. Bus driver gets it. Bus driver picks up what leather jacket man was putting down. The entire bus applauds. I don't know who leather jacket man was. The only thing I know, he was a hero.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Strecker. 3 weeks ago, Joe and I did a show here for Stumptown Stories. We had lots of technical difficulties, but I left my DVD of Paint Your Wagon in the DVD player, yeah, on accident, because I got kind of fucked up on an accident, and somebody took it. It's gone, I know. But like, I'm like, well, like, if they took it, they fucking deserve that movie, right? So, anyways, that was a tangent. But next Tuesday night, you can come down and see Heather Arndt Anderson's awesome slides. She's going to talk about food and stuff. So be sure to come down and see that. Next, we have Jennifer Polis. Is it Polis or Police?
Polis.
Polis. I fucked it all up, didn't I? Jennifer is going to come up and tell us an awesome story, too.
I'm really nervous because it's been a long time since I've spoken in front of people, but I'm going to give it a go. Yay! I also have a story about a TriMet hero, although he handled things a little bit differently. So I was on the 71 going from Halsey.
Yes, I know the 71.
The 71 is confusing as hell because I have no idea it's going to Foster, it's going to Clackamas, it's going to, same difference to me. I don't know where you get on to go what direction. Anyway, so I found myself on the 71 getting on 60th and Halsey going over to Belmont. And I get on, it's evening time, Tuesday, 8, it's dark out. And get on the bus, sit down. A couple stops later, this guy gets on the bus. He's tall, lanky, hoodie, backpack. So you know he's up to no good automatically. Gets on the bus, like, just like kind of like walks on, like, totally high on something, like, but like really chill, like on heroin, probably high, not like the meth kind of high. So he gets on and he just like totally walks past the bus driver and sits down. And she's like, excuse me, like you need to give me some money, please. She's being super nice about it. She's like, hey, you need to pay your fare. He's kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, it's up. Walks over to her. Does a thing where he's like looking in his pockets for like money or his ticket or whatever. And you know he does not have money or a ticket, but he's like really doing his best to really like, oh, dude, like, yeah, oh wait, no, this is yesterday's ticket. I know I got my ticket in here somewhere. Goes on for, you know, a couple minutes. The bus driver is finally like, I don't know if she got money from him or she finally just wanted to sit down. But he goes to sit down, but he just like splays himself across the seats, like in the handicap section. And just blah. And totally high, like I said. So the bus goes for like a couple blocks, and the bus driver is like, hey, dude, you gotta get up. Like, I'd really appreciate it if you did not lay across the seats like that. And so finally he just kind of like gets up a little bit, like, and then he gets up and he goes to talk to her again. And it's like she's talking to him and she's being like super calm, like talking in a regular kind of voice. So I can't really hear so much what she's saying. He's totally mumbling, so I definitely can't hear what he's saying. But all of a sudden, I do understand that she's saying, like, hey, don't talk to me like that, dude. Like, don't swear at me. Like, if you're going to, like, be an asshole, you're going to have to get off the bus. You know, blah, blah, blah. And, like, at this point, I'm getting kind of uncomfortable because I'm like, I feel like I should speak up. But also, I want to mind myself on the bus. I don't want to talk to anyone. It's just, like, I'm a liberal. So I'm like, probably shouldn't, like, get myself into this. But, man, this guy's being a real dick, and I just want to get off the bus. And so at this point, this woman, so I should say that I was sitting on the left-hand side of the bus, like, between, like, the front door and the back door. And this woman who had been sitting in front of me got up and went to the back of the bus because she was obviously uncomfortable. And so then finally, Like, so this is like happening within the, you know, maybe like a span of like 10 or 15, 20 blocks. It seems like a lot longer to me. It's like kind of happening in slow motion. So finally, this guy who's sitting like two seats behind me, I'm going to call him Longboard because he had a long board with him. So finally he speaks up. He's like, hey, bus driver, you need some backup. Do you need some help here? And so he gets up and he walks to the front of the bus. And hi, guy is still standing there. And, the longboard dude's talking to the bus driver. He's like, hey, you want some help? And she's like, yeah, you know, I could probably kind of use some help because this guy's being a dick. So the longboard guy is like, hey, hi, guy, you need to get off the bus. And hi, guy's like, whatever, dude, like, I don't know. Like, and, like, longboard's like, you need to get off the bus. And so the hi, guy starts walking from the front to the back of the bus. And so I'm sitting there, like, within, like, you know, a couple feet of me. Longboard guy, you know, was like, hey, no, you need to get off the bus. Hi, guys, going down. And so right in front of the back door, finally, longboard guy is like, look, dude, you need to get off the bus now. This is your stop. And with one fell swoop, longboard guy grabs hi, guy by the arm, opens the back door, and fucking tosses him out the back door. Down on the fucking sidewalk. But, like, the bus pulls away, and I slide, like, over to the dude. I was like, dude, you're my fucking hero. And I was like, high five. And I gave him a high five because he, like, took care of business. And, you know, maybe not the way I would have, but, like, I've been riding the bus for, like, a good 13 and a half years in Portland. And I was just, like, so happy to just finally see somebody, like, you know what? Nope, this is it. Bam, out. Bus drives away, and it's, like, awesome. So...
Thanks, Jennifer. And next, Heather Arndt Anderson.
Hi, everybody. I am what you would call an early adopter of the TriMet transit system because I was born in Portland and my parents were poor and we didn't have a car when I was growing up, so I rode TriMet everywhere when I was a kid. I rode the 9 from the Brooklyn neighborhood to Northeast Portland to visit my grandparents. So I'm going to get, like, the brown beaver and the purple rain tattooed. But so I have lots of little stories. None of them are epic. One of them was I remember being a little girl and always wanting to put my mouth on the handrails of the bus. My mom being like, my mother, who was a germ phobe, and she was a corporal in Marines, she was like, don't! Like, she's freaking the fuck out all the time because I'm just like a weird mouthy kid who wants to put her mouth on everything. Like, mouthing the... Can you imagine, like, putting your mouth on the handrails of the TriMet bus on the fucking number 9? So my mom was freaking out, and my brother and I used to act up, and one time the bus driver was like, listen to your mother. And we were like, somebody's parenting us other than my mom. And so these are some of my early childhood memories are forged on the TriMet bus. Then later in life, when I was like in my teen years, I remember getting weirdly macked on by some gross dude on the number 14. Because I was a 14 hippie, and some dude, I had this weird magic wand that I had made. It was, and he's like, ooh, what's that? And I was like, it's a monkey puzzle tree branch. And he did not know what the fuck I was talking about, but I was just like a weird hippie who like had picked up a branch from a monkey puzzle tree, because you know, like on 50th and Hawthorne, there's a shitload of those trees, and if you tie some crystals on it, it's your magic wand. And it's your, like, creep-proof. It's your, like, your creep-proof, what do you call that? Like, it's like a totem, you know, to, like, keep the creeps away. And he just backed the fuck off when I was like, it's my monkey puzzle branch. You know, he just was like, great. He stepped off. So, and then later, in, like, 95, 96, I was a Mount Hood Community College student. And I was still living, like, on, you know, Hawthorne Division, riding the fucking... the 4 out to Gresham every day. And one time, and that was one of those, like, the female or hippie version of manspreading, when you, like, sit in the back of the bus and you have your knees kind of, like, up against the seat in front of you, and you just fall asleep because you have to take the bus all the way the fuck out to Gresham for your 8 a.m. math class, and you're sleepy as hell because you're, like, 19, and you have, you know, drugs to do the night before and, like, jobs to work. And so, yeah, I was, like, the female version of manspreading all up in the back of the Gresham bus, and I thought I was all safe and shit, but then one time my TI-82 calculator got stolen out of my fucking pack. Some motherfucker in Gresham reached in and stole my fucking calculator, and math was super hard after that. And then there was, like, the later 90s when I had to call out some racist who was being a shithead about some Asian lady who sat down with all her groceries. But, so I have so many little stories about TriMet. I don't have any, like, big cool stories. I just, TriMet has always been a part of my life until I eventually became bougie enough to never have to take TriMet again. And that's where I want to leave us tonight. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everybody gets to a point in their life when they don't have to take TriMet no more.
Thank you, Heather. And next is Beth. Beth is here.
Sorry. So I actually never do this stuff. But I was listening to all the stories, and I wanted to make an apology, especially to all the TriMet bus drivers and everything like that. So as far as why there has to be a notice about vapor now on buses not being allowed, that was me. The person who fell on the TriMet tracks at the Beaverton Transit and then got bloody on the MAX or tried to get on the bus, that was me, drunk. And pretty much the person who ended up almost hitting on a 17-year-old at a charter school because they kept on riding the same bus line, that was me too. So thank you, TriMet, because obviously I should not be a driver at all. And I'll never get too bougie to, well, actually, Uber now. Anyone okay with Uber? Or are you guys going to throw things at me? Yeah. Thank you, TriMet, because I would have probably killed 20 people by now.
Thank you, Beth. And now, Paul D.V.
All right. This is the unfortunate story of the time that I rode the MAX with a naked guy. Because everyone's rode the MAX with a naked guy, but this is my story. So at the time, I was commuting from, I was taking a Renko station, Blue Line, down into downtown. And I was doing my best as a TriMet rider. I was engrossed in my Kindle. I was reading my book, trying to not make eye contact with anybody, trying to just stay quiet and not draw attention. So at the time, I think it was actually this is way back. Like Girl with a Dragon Tattoo was out, and I was engrossed, and I was absolutely loving this book. So we made it to the tunnel. And I was loving my book, and we get to the zoo stop, and everything is fantastic, and we make the stop at the zoo. And then, like, as the MAX starts to go, I'm aware of some movement around me. And I look up, and everyone has gone from my section of the car. It's really weird. I'm like, this is super strange. I don't understand. And then I look to my left, and I notice that sitting in the seat next to me is a very, very naked man. To be fair, he was a polite naked man, so he wasn't doing the spreading. He was the legs were crossed. Unfortunately, they were crossed toward me. So all I got was a little bit of saggy man boob, and then some stuff was going toward me. It was interesting. So I sat there. I didn't want to be... Like, everyone else had moved, so I didn't want to make the guy feel bad, because I feel like I'm that Portland guy that I'm just like, yeah, you know, I just want to be nice about all this. I don't want to make anybody feel awkward. So I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there, just praying for the Max ride to end. As we exit the tunnel, I get a little curious. There's a little bit of movement in the crotchal area. And I don't want to look at it, but I know something's going on. So I turn to the person next to me, and I look him in the eye, which is a mistake. And he looks me right back. And he looks at me. And he looks at me, and he gets this knowing look in his eye. And he says, "Hey, you're that guy." And at that moment, we come to the stop, and police get on, and they drag him off. And to this day, I'm still curious. I wonder, I genuinely, truly hope that he thought I was somebody cool. That's all that matters. So, thank you.
You know, Ben, I thought you looked familiar. That guy. I've never seen anybody naked on the Max. Ben's like, you see it all the time. I don't ride the Max much, though. I don't know. That was Paul. I'm sorry, not Ben. Paul. Ben Coleman is up next. Ben, would you come please tell us your mass transit story? Is Ben gone?
He's literally trapped on the bus right now.
He had enough of that bullshit. Is it the Ben Coleman we know on Twitter? It is. That's a bummer. Well, it's a bummer that we don't get to meet him in real life. All right, well, maybe Ben will join us. Tori with an I. No naked dudes on the Max stories, right? Okay. I'm not, like, calling a ban on them. It's fucking open mic. We're kind of hippies here. But, like, I was just checking. Okay. Tori with an I.
Hey. Yeah, I'm Tori with an I. And Dan Christensen, who spoke earlier, is my dad. So he's used to kind of doing these open mic things. I'm not so much, so first time. As other people who spoke tonight, I grew up in Portland, born and raised, and TriMet has been a part of my life for that whole time. My daughter, when she was born, her first TriMet ride was when she was 2 weeks old. That was exciting. When my dad got the job at TriMet driving, it was just before I got my permit and all that stuff, so I was like early teens. And whenever I would ask him to give me rides places, first of all, it was never like, oh yeah, my parent drives me places. This was a chore. I had to earn a ride anywhere, especially after he got a job driving TriMet. Because then driving was his job. So doing it when he wasn't working was even worse, which I now totally get. So after he started driving for TriMet, I started to notice whenever I would have him drive me somewhere, he started to drive only on bus routes. And I tested it. I would have him drive me places where, like, oh, here, clearly you would get on the freeway to go to this place. Like, that's how the fastest, the most logical way to go. No, then we take the 15, then we move over to the 4, and then, you know. So TriMet will eke its way into your life, I think, no matter who you are in Portland. But I love it. And the thing is, it didn't just happen, like, once and then twice, you know, like when he was learning the routes or learning where to drive. It still happens. But I guess that's the end.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for coming down. Ben Coleman, unfortunately, is just too goddamn late. So thanks for coming down. We will do this again at some point. I definitely appreciate you all coming and sharing your stories. And thanks to Dave at TriMet Diaries. Thanks to Brock and Aaron. It's Brocket Podcast. And thanks to the Jack London Bar for letting us geek the fuck out. Thank you.
A
Hey there, folks. It's Brock. Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Sprocket Podcast. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com. Thanks to Kick-Ass Oregon History and TriMet Diaries for hosting this awesome event. Find them at orhistory.com and trimetdiaries.com. And email us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call or text 503-847-9774 with your comments, or you can Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Seattle band Explone for this episode's special music. It's the Ballad of Mertzuplis, one of my favorite rock songs. Thanks to Dr. Something for music during the event, and thank you to our sustaining donors that make this show possible, as well as show beer sponsor, the Beermongers, and event host, the Jack London Bar. Thanks to Andy Lindberg for voicing the intro, as only he can, for this episode. We'll be back very soon with more shows from the Sprocket Podcast. Take care, and we'll see you next time.